We are very happy to have with us right now Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network, also for CBS Sports. Solly, you spent some time around this Browns team at the OTAs last week, and you've been around them earlier this offseason. Want to get some of your impressions of what you saw out in the field in Berea.
Well, Vic, I think, first of all, when you talk about the Cleveland Browns, everyone knows this is going to be a training camp where all eyes are going to be focused on the quarterback competition between Colt McCoy and Brandon Whedon. And during my time at Berea, why the teams were in their mini camps, I got a chance to see both quarterbacks side by side. And just by the eyeball test, just the immediate observation is that one guy is bigger, one guy's taller, one guy's stronger, one guy repeatedly drives the ball further down the field with great ease, and that's Brandon Whedon. And let's face it, while he might be a rookie, he's actually older than Colt McCoy. I think he's been on the big stage. He's not overwhelmed by the moment, and I think that gives them a chance. Now, we don't know how he's going to play when blitzing defenses are coming at him, when the Steelers come to town, when the Ravens come to town, but just automatically you could tell the talent is there, and I think it's greater than the talent they've had at the quarterback position in the past.
Yeah, the thing we take from these OTAs and mini camps, which of course starting tomorrow, is really the passing game, because that's all you can judge, and everything you described is what we saw from Brandon Whedon. I think the other thing to look at too, Solly, is reactions to the different defenses that he's seeing. I guess the different defensive talent he sees now that the veterans are here, as opposed to what he was doing in that very first rookie minicamp. Do you see a guy who to you looks comfortable at that level? You know, whatever, you know, if we call it the level, I know it's still not game competition, but it is NFL competition.
Yeah, for what he's doing right now, yeah, he's comfortable. Is he perfect in everything that they're doing? No, because there's a learning curve. But the key is, in Pat Shurmur's offense, it's about timing and tempo, the ability to get the ball out quick, make really good decisions early in the process, get the ball out of his hand. And every time I saw him drop back, I saw him making good decisions. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be fair here. I could tell you what, Colt McCoy looks really good his second year in this offense. Seneca Wallace is not just handing this job over either, and I think we've kind of omitted him from the quarterback race or this competition. I think they've got three viable guys who are really going to compete. Now, who's going to stand out? And more importantly, who's going to stand out against the Steelers defense, against the Ravens defense, against the Bengals within the AFC North division? Because at the end of the day, they're looking for a quarterback who's going to get the ball repeatedly into the end zone. I think this is going to be a closer race than any of us thought it would be.
Okay, I'm very glad you brought up the other names, and that, like the rest of us, you're paying attention to what they did. You got a good look, really, at both of those quarterbacks, especially Colt McCoy, during the 2011 season, because you had the opportunity to broadcast multiple Browns games for CBS. What have you seen on the practice field? Let's start with Colt, that jumps out at you, that looks improved over the Colt you saw last season.
I just think his overall decision-making accuracy, there were times last year in 2011 where things did work out. They did get the wide receiver open. It is third and 11, and they need a play to stay on the field. And there were times when he just missed the open guy. Now, I think for the most part, he's an accurate passer, but for one reason or another, there were times when receivers were open where he didn't connect. What I'm seeing early, at least in minicamp, with no real hitting going on, he is getting the ball out, he's making good decisions, and he's accurate with the ball 90% of the time. Now, one thing that I also notice is that his balls, he doesn't drive the ball down the field. He's not even trying to go deep, where Brandon Whedon, he'll read from the top down of the coverage. He will attack down the field, and his balls down the field have greater velocity, greater accuracy, and more precision on it than the other two guys. And I think that's where Brandon Whedon really is. He's the cut above when it comes to overall talent. There's a reason why the Yankees drafted this guy coming out of high school. He's got a whip for an arm that far exceeds what the other two guys bring to the table.
You know, Seneca Wallace kind of gets to be the forgotten guy in the conversation because of so much focus on it being a one-to-one Whedon-McCoy thing. But he did start those few games last year. He is a veteran and really the only guy on this roster that could conceivably fill that role of veteran presence with a presumed rookie starter in Whedon. But do you, what you know of Seneca Wallace and what you know of the background where it didn't really work well in that regard, it didn't work at all in that regard between Wallace and McCoy, could you see him filling any kind of mentoring big brother role with Whedon?
Yeah, you know, Seneca Wallace is a polished pro, and I remember his days early with Mike Holmgren's team in Seattle. I remember talking to Seneca, and I was introduced to him by Matt Hasselbeck, who sort of mentored Seneca during that process. And I remember sitting down, it was Matt Hasselbeck, myself, and Seneca Wallace, and I told him, I said, hey, man, if you learn this offense, I said, this is like having the Holy Grail. You learn the West Coast offense, whether you're a starter or not, you're a 10-year pro. If there's a value to guys who know this system, the coaches within this system, whether it's a Musgrave in Minnesota, whether it's Andy Reid in Philadelphia, whether it's John Gruden, whether it's Jay Gruden, all the West Coast type offenses and coaches, what Mike Shanahan and the Gary Kubiaks, they're always looking for quarterbacks who know this system, whether it's you're in Green Bay or whatever. They keep 3-4 quarterbacks. They always keep one in the chamber for developmental purposes, but they always keep a veteran as well. And Seneca Wallace, I think he's going to be here no matter what. I don't think he's playing himself out of a job. I think there's a security factor that he brings to the table that if that can keep this team from hitting rock bottom. It should either other the one quarterbacks don't work out, they know they can roll in Seneca Wallace, and he gives them the mobility factor that I don't think the other two guys have, that when things break down, he can still create something. So Seneca's got to prove himself in training camp to be that guy, but I think that's how they see him going in.
Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network and CBS Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The man has been a presence at the Browns offseason workouts, so we're getting the national perspective of someone who has been here with his own two eyes and really looking at this football team. I got to ask you the obligatory Trent Richardson questions, just on how you like the way he's moving. I guess you could see the decisions he makes once he gets the ball in his hand and finding the holes and so on and so forth. What is jumping out at you about Richardson, just besides the fact that he looks like a beast?
Well, he does, and I think you're right. I think there's three things that jump out for me is his overall body control. Whatever he's doing, he's a guy that's low to the ground, shoulder square, great body lean. He's got a powerful lean, and he's compact, so that makes him difficult to tackle. When you have that kind of body control, he's the kind of guy that bounces out of the pile and other people are on the ground and he's still standing. That's why Emmitt Smith was so great, and I compare him with that kind of body size, but I compare him to a Corey Dillon or maybe even a Michael Turner. These guys, they can turn out yards and they can have a high level of productivity because they play so compact. His footwork is phenomenal. That speaks to the overall balance. But the thing that you can see in a minicamp-type presence is, Vic, the way he catches the ball coming out of the backfield, he's as polished in all phases of the game as I've seen in any running back coming out. He's just got a natural flow, a natural instinct, and you love him in space. Now, is he a Darren Sproles out of the backfield catcher? And I'm not going there, but he's not a liability. He can stay on the field, which makes him a three-down back, and I think that's high praise for any rookie running back coming into this league.
Solly, your position in the NFL, of course, defensive back when you played, and that is where that you have still a very soft spot in your heart for that spot and watching those players closely as you do in practice. What are some of your takeaways, not only of the secondary, but the defense as a whole going into year two of Dick Geron as coordinator of this team?
Well, you know, I think the secondary are still looking around for who the final pieces are going to be. They know what they have in Sheldon Brown, obviously, and Joe Hayden at the cornerback position. Ward's going to be one of the safeties. I still think they're searching for who the other safety is going to be. Is it going to be Usama Young? I think there's going to be a rotation of players there where someone's going to have to step up and prove that they can be the guy. And I just don't know that in a mini camp that's going to declare itself at that position, to be honest with you, because I want to see a guy, when the blitzes are called, can he get people lined up? Can he get to the quarterback? Can he make plays at all three levels of the defense and around the line of scrimmage in the running game? And then this has become a passing league. You got to prove you can come off the hash and cover two and prevent the deep ball as well and play well in space. So I don't really try to grade defensive backs until we get to that point. And I think that's overall defensively. Defense is meant to be played physically, and a guy can move around and do all those things, but until we get pads on, for defense guys, I like the reserve judgment, because okay. until we get physical, right. it's just too hard to say who's a player, who's not a player. But I can tell you what, the one guy that I want to watch more than anything that I think could help transform this team more than anyone, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, no one's talking about him, is Mitchell Schwartz, the tackle. I just think that going at right tackle opposite Joe Thomas, he will help them control the line of scrimmage, Vic. He'll help them be able to run against some top-notch defenses in this league. And if they can do that, then we're talking about an entirely different Cleveland Brown team than what we've seen the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, you and many others looking forward to that, and a lot of other players once the pads are on and the contact begins late in July. All right, great stuff, Solly, as always, and I love having you out here. You're becoming like a fixture on this Browns beat, and we love it, man.
Well, you guys treat me so good when I come out. I enjoy it as well. And every time I come up from Cincinnati, I'm getting treated better and better now.
Well, we love you. All right, great stuff, and we look forward to talking with you again down the line in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, Vic, take care.
He is the one and only Solomon Wilcots, NFL Network, CBS Sports, and a great friend joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.